Praise God. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for your presence here amongst us, Lord. Father, we are excited, Lord, for all that you have for us, Lord. We're excited for all that you are doing and that you are about to do in us and through us. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we prepare ourselves, Lord God, and as we come before you, Lord God, with open hearts, Father, speak to us, minister to us, Lord God. Renew us, refresh us, prepare us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So good to be here this afternoon together in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This is a letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. In an NIV version, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace. Everyone say this with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Amen. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, and filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So in a typical letter or standard letter of the time, for anybody, when you write a letter, you start with, hey, how are you? Trust you are doing well. How is everything going on? But in this letter, you see, Paul starts with thanksgiving. See, Paul wants to ask them about their well-being, but most importantly, Paul starts with thanksgiving. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. See, Paul is so blessed by the growth in the Philippians that he starts this letter by thanking God for all that is happening in their life and in the church of Philippi. You see, in spite of all persecutions and all the trials, the church kept their focus in place. Amen? In spite of all that was going on around them, the church stayed focused and they were strongly continuing their journey of faith. You see, likewise, the same way Paul, when he wrote this letter, when we bring it in our own context as well, I want to thank each and every one of you here at Harvest Fields. And every time I think about you guys, I want to thank God. Because you guys are living, walking miracles. You see, where you were a couple of years ago to where you are today, I'm proud of each and every one of you guys. And I want to say to you, keep running the good race. Keep pressing on. See, when Paul's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he's proud of them. He's so proud of them and he's saying to them, listen, don't stop. Don't stop, keep pressing on, because God has got great things for each and every one of you. And I know the journey has not been easy for many of you guys. I know you've had your ups and your downs. I know you've cried. I know there have been days where you wanted to throw down the towel and say, I've had enough, I'm going to quit. But the fact that you didn't quit, I praise God for that. The fact that you are here this afternoon lifting up the name of Jesus, I thank God for that. The fact that you are pressing on, fixing your eyes upon Jesus and holding on to every single promise that He has for you, I want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for that. And that's what Paul's writing this saying to them. Listen, I thank my God every time I remember you. And I thank my God every time I remember you guys as well. See, verse 4 and verse 5, it says, in all my prayers for all of you guys, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. There's a difference. There's a prayer that we just pray just for the sake of praying. But there is a prayer we pray because there is this overwhelming, overflowing joy within us that we cannot help but pray. Amen. And that is the position where Paul is. He cannot help but pray. See, when you see someone progress so much so in their lives and you see what God is doing in their lives, you see, you cannot help but thank God. You cannot help but pray for them. You see, in this context, for Paul, it wasn't the case of what he was doing, but it was the case of why he was praying for them. See, Paul was excited for them. Paul knew that God was doing a great thing in the life of the church. You see, and I'm excited for each and every one of you guys here. I'm excited for you. I don't know how you see yourself when you wake up in the morning, when you look at yourself in the mirror. I don't know what you see, but I want to tell you this afternoon. God has got great things in store for you. Amen. Believe that. Whatever you're going through right now, this is temporary. God, what God has for you is eternal. Amen. So don't take your eyes off what God has for you. I'm excited for you, church, and I mean it. I am really, really excited for you, for each and every one of you. The fact that God has brought you this far, this is no coincidence. This is God incident because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The fact that you were about to quit on yourself, but God did not quit on you, tells me that God has a plan for you. The fact that you kept running away from God, but God was actually chasing after you, shows us that God has a plan for you. Amen. See, how many times have we tried running away from God, but God's always been there chasing after us, saying to us, hey, do not quit. Hey, come back, I'm here for you. See, we have this hope that if God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to say to you, church, stay focused for each and every one of you. Stay focused, stay on the track. See, why does Paul have this hope? Why does Paul have this hope for Philippians? We find that in verse 6. Paul writes, because I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He is confident. See, he's not saying maybe, he's not in this place of, oh, I'm not too sure. No, he's in this place of, oh, I am confident. The reason I'm praying for you, because I am confident that God has begun his work in you. That's what Paul's saying to the church in Philippi. He's not saying to him, I'm praying for you because maybe God has a plan for you. He's not saying maybe, he is confident. He's like, hey, the fact that you made it this far tells me that God is about to do mighty things in your life. That God has already started that mighty thing in your life and he will bring it to completion. See, because his confidence was not in his ability or his resources. See, but his confidence was in the Lord. When Paul's writing this letter, he's in chains. But he's confident that God has something for him. He's not looking around his circumstances and he's saying, this is the end. No. He's saying, do you know what? This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Don't let the negative noises distract you from what God has for you, church. See, the outside world will always say this and the other to you and about you and will try to plant this negative seed in you. But the word of the Lord to us is this, be confident. Amen. Be confident. Say it with me, church. I am confident. I can't hear you. See, you're not confident. Come on. I am confident. That's right, Robert. I hear it loud and clear. I am confident. Amen. I'm confident that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Church, be confident that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Be confident that you will see the provision of God in your life. Be confident that you will see the healing of God in your life, the fact that you've been praying for so many years and the enemy's been whispering in your ears, listen, where is your God now? Don't give in to them voices. Be confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will bring it to completion. You won't bring it to completion, but he will bring it to completion. See, be confident in the fact that the God who gave you the promises will bring it to fulfillment. Because it is he who gave you the promise. If he's given you that promise, he will fulfill it. He will bring it to fulfillment. Amen. See, be confident in the fact that even though your mind might be telling you one thing, don't give in to your mind. Don't give in to them voices. Keep trusting in the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. If we keep trusting in the one who is able, he will bring you through. He will bring you through. Paul, he is in chains when he's writing this. But he's writing to the believers outside of these prison walls. And he's encouraging them, saying, hey, be confident. It should be the other way around. The people from the outside are encouraging him, saying, hey, Paul, be confident, you will be released soon. But it's the other way around. You see, his circumstances did not dictate his experience. And church, you will have many circumstances playing around and hovering around you, but don't let it ruin or pollute or dilute your experience. Your experience is in the living one, the holy one, the one who knows the beginning and the end, the great I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. He's our experience. He's our living Savior. He's the one in whom we put our trust and our faith. Amen. He has the last say. Come on, church. He has the last say. You've made it this far. Don't stop here. Keep progressing. Keep growing. God has put great, mighty things in your life. Not so that you can hold on to it, but so that you can grow in it. See, the fact that God's brought you here tells me that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The fact that you're sitting in these chairs tells me that God is about to use your life mightily for his praise and for his glory. Amen. Verse 7, it says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. I love this. He says he's not just defending the gospel, but he is confirming the gospel. Amen. See, we're good at defending, but we need to be good at confirming as well. Amen. Defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul expresses his heart to them because his understanding is that in all things that he's doing for Christ, he knows that he is not alone. He is not alone. You see, he knows the Lord is with him, yes, but he also knows the church in Philippi is with him. He knows the Lord is with him. He's in chains right now. He knows that the Lord is with him, but he also knows that he is not alone. He's got communities of these believers with him. See, we never worship alone. Right now, you see, a few minutes ago, we were lifting up the name of Jesus, but it wasn't only us. It was the whole of earth lifting up the name of Jesus. That is powerful. See, when we were lifting up the name of Jesus in here, community of believers in Africa were lifting up the name of Jesus as well. Community in India were lifting up the name of Jesus as well. Hidden church in China, we're lifting up the name of Jesus as well. You see, it's global. It's global. We've got this mindset where we box everything in. But I want us to understand, church, we are never alone. You see, the mission of Christ will continue. Amen? The mission of the gospel will continue wherever we go. Amen. Each and every one of you. You might be in your house, in your room, lifting up the name of Jesus. And whilst you're lifting up the name of Jesus, David might be in his flat, lifting up the name of Jesus. You might not know it, but David's there lifting up the name of Jesus. And at the same time, Michelle might be lifting up the name of Jesus as well. You see, so we in our heads, we're thinking, I'm lifting up the name of Jesus all alone at the moment. But no, you are not lifting up the name of Jesus all alone. You've got these vast followers of Jesus lifting up the name of Jesus at the same time. And you know, this is the most powerful thing about the gospel. Over the years, over the period of history, many have tried to stop people worshipping Jesus. But even though they have tried the message of the gospel, and it's still powerful, the message of the gospel is still transforming lives, the message of the gospel is still bringing people to their knees, lifting up the name of Jesus. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of the gospel. He is in chains right now, Paul, but that is not stopping him lifting up the name of Jesus. When he was in that cell, lifting up the name of Jesus, the church in Philippi was lifting up the name of Jesus with him. The church in Galatia was lifting up the name of Jesus with him. The church in Colossae were lifting up the name of Jesus with him. You see, our message does not change. We have millions and billions of people worshipping Jesus at the same time, and that is powerful. That is powerful. You know, that's something to be excited about. To see that the whole earth is lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, I love what Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well. A time is coming and the time is now when people will worship God in spirit and in truth. See, it was a prophetic word. It was a prophetic word. And the time is now, church. The time is now. When Jesus spoke it, that word came into being. Amen. The fact that Jesus spoke it, that's it. The work was started. And that work is continuing. Amen. Amen. And that work will not stop until the whole of earth will be lifting up the name of Jesus. Imagine the sound that will be resonating from the earth. Can you imagine the sound? Everyone lifting up the name of Jesus at the same time. Whoa, we will have some powerful sound, the sound of heaven touching earth, and it will be sound of earth touching heaven. That would be powerful, church. And let's dream dreams. Amen. Let's dream dreams. Verse 9, it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." See, Paul reveals to them what he has been praying about. Paul tells them that he's been praying for them. And Paul tells them why he's been praying for them, because he's confident that God is about to do something in their lives. Okay? So Paul's been praying for them. "Listen, church, I've been praying for you." Secondly, Paul tells them why he's been praying for them, because he believes that God has great things for them. And thirdly, he tells them what he's been praying about. Paul reveals to them what he's been praying about. He prays that they may continue to grow. See? He prays that they may continue to grow in their knowledge and also in their service for Christ. It's good to have knowledge. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have knowledge. But knowledge is of no use if there's no service attached with it. See, church, we are called to grow and go deep into this knowledge of who Christ is, but we are also called to serve Christ. I've got two statements for you. Don't stop learning. Don't stop learning. It's wonderful joy. It's a beautiful thing to be able to see the growth in you and to see what God is about to do in your life. So one, first thing, don't stop learning. Second thing, don't stop growing. Don't stop learning, don't stop growing. See, in other words, what Paul is saying here is continue to prioritize growth. Continue to prioritize growth. In other words, keep the main thing the main thing. Continue to prioritize growth so that you may grow in your knowledge and depth of insight. And now when we get to verse 10, it says, "So that you may be able to discern." Why grow in your knowledge? Why keep growing? And why prioritize growing? Because so that you may be able to discern. See, Paul is praying for them because he wants them to become, number one, he wants them to become more discerning. More discerning. So that they may be able to discern what is best, the scripture says in verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best. See, growth in our knowledge of the scripture helps us to discern and perceive the world differently. It helps us to grow and perceive the world differently so that we will begin to live differently. See, when our life gets soaked in the biblical truth, then we begin to live biblically. Amen? We begin to see, we begin to speak, we begin to live differently. And that's what Paul wants for the church in Philippi, for them to be more discerning. And church, I want to encourage the same truth to you. Soak in the Word of God. Soak in the true knowledge of the Word of God. Devote your life to the Word of God. You see, Paul writes to Timothy, watch your doctrine and your life closely. In other words, watch what you take in and also how you live carefully. And these same words I want to speak to you about this afternoon. Be very careful what you take in the sense of, you see, we're at church here right now, but when we leave the church doors, you have to face the world. And when you face the world, you are bombarded with many lies. You are bombarded with all sorts of theology. You are bombarded with all sorts of ideologies that will pull you down and that will suppress you and try to box you and make you make believe that maybe all that you've been listening to and all that you've been taught is all nothing but lies. You might be in that place today and you might be saying to yourself, I'm happy just as I am. I'm happy just with what God is doing at the moment. But I want to challenge you. God wants to do more. God wants to do more. And the real question is, are you up to that challenge? Are you going to take up that challenge and are you going to step up and say, do you know what, I see this need, I'm going to step in. Or are you going to say, do you know what, I'll let somebody else do it. See, there is a need. Amen. Church, say it with me, there is a need. See, you're saying it like there is no need. There is a need. See, there is a need, church. There is a need. I wanna stress that point. There is a need. This area needs the message of the gospel. And the only people who will take that message of the gospel in this area is you and me. Church, wherever we go, the world needs the message of the gospel. And the only person who will be able to take that message of the gospel is you and me. And if we don't see that need, and if our heart does not burn, and if our heart does not toss and turn with urgency, then church, I want to urge you to pray. Because there is a need. See, there is a need even in the establishment of the church. We need people who will step up and rise up to the challenge and say, do you know what? I will volunteer. Oh, there's a need. I'll do that. See, don't wait for somebody else to come up to you and say to you, oh, can you do this? If you see a need and if you feel like, oh, my heart's burning, actually, I need to do something about it, then that's God speaking to you. Do it, church. Amen. Do it. Because there is a need. Do it. Amen. Be discerning and do it. Number two. Pure and blameless. See, Paul is praying for them because he wants them to become pure and blameless. That's in verse 10 again. In other words, so that they will all stay away from the idols. So that no lies of the enemy can bring condemnation to them. See, pure and blameless is not what I can achieve. Pure and blameless is what has been achieved on my behalf. See, I cannot achieve pure and blameless life. I can pursue pure and blameless life, but I cannot fully achieve it because at the end of the day, I'm human. And I have no capacity of actually achieving the full level of pureness and blamelessness. But I know someone who's achieved it on my behalf. I know someone who's achieved it on your behalf, and his name is Jesus. So the next time the enemy whispers lies in your head, telling you how worthless you are, tell him who's on your behalf. Amen. Jesus. He's interceding on our behalf. Amen. Not only that, but he was on the cross on our behalf. Not only that, but he went the extra mile on our behalf. because he knew that you and me were not capable of doing it ourselves. Amen. And lastly, Paul is praying for them because he wants them to become filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes from God. See, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I want to say, greater is the seed that is in you than all the lies that's out there in the world. Greater is the promise that is in you that will come to fulfillment than all the lies that the world will try to plant in your heart. Greater is the truth planted in you and me than all the lies that get thrown at us. See, why be filled with these things? Why be filled with these things? Why do we need to be more discerning? Why should we pursue blamelessness and purity? Why should we run after fruits of righteousness so that God can be glorified and magnified through our lives and through our service? Church, live for the glory of God. Live for the glory of God. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. If you see a need, act. Amen. Act. You see, sadly, a lot of churches are closing down because of the same issue. They're waiting for other people to do it for them. But can you imagine if everybody rises up to the challenge? Can you imagine if everybody says, do you know what, I'm in, I'm going to do that. And if everybody rose up to the challenge and acted, can you imagine the influence we'll be having in communities and nation? And it's time, church. See, just how Jesus said, a time is coming and time is now when people will worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to speak this over you. A time is coming and a time is now where the church of God will rise. Amen. Where the church of God will rise up, where the church of God will prioritize growth, where the church of God will prioritize influencing the community and reaching out the lost for Jesus. A time is coming and a time is now, church. Don't wait for somebody else to do it for you. It's time for you to do it. It's time for me to do it. It's time for us to do it. See, God will take us places. You might be in town center. Don't wait for somebody else to share Jesus when you have the opportunity right in front of you. You might be doing a grocery shopping somewhere. Don't wait for somebody else to do it for you on your behalf when God's given you the opportunity. It's time for us to act, church. See, Paul says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. We need to do the work of an evangelist as well. It's you and me, church. We are the church. We take the message of hope. We take the message of the gospel wherever we go. God will complete the work, yes. God will bring fulfillment, yes, to all of his promises. But you and me, we have to act. So we cannot wait and expect God to fulfill the promises if we do not act. Church, God might have given you promises, each and every one of you. But if you do not act, promises will stay promises. Jesus wants to complete that work through us and in us. But at the same time, he's looking for partnership. And the reason I know that is in the scriptures. Let me read that scripture again, found in verse 3. I thank God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray for you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Can you imagine if Paul would have just stayed there and said, oh, do you know what, I'm gonna let the others carry on. But he said, no, do you know what, I'm not going to let that happen. Instead, I'm going to write letters and I'm going to encourage other churches to carry on while I'm here. Church, it's time to act. Amen. Say it with me. I'm going to act. See, we need to act, church. We need to act. You see, I cannot stress it more than this. You know, we have to act. We need to act. If God's put a burden in your heart, if God's put an urgency in your heart, my message to you this afternoon is, church, don't hold back. If God's given you something, it's time to act. If God's put that passion in your heart for evangelism, hey, talk with the leaders. Let's act. If God's put the heart, the vision in your heart for hospitality, hey, let's sit down, let's talk, let's act. If God's put something of prophetic in your heart, sit down and act. Don't wait for others. It's time for you to act. And Paul is thanking God for Philippians, but at the same time, he's gently saying to them, don't stop. Continue to act. Keep on at it. Continue. Keep on at it. Continue. Because the work that God has started, he will bring it to completion. But you have to partner. You have to partner. Church, let's continue to partner in this great, great cause. In Jesus' name. Amen. Should we all stand? We're going to pray together. Father God, we thank you for your truth. Lord, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that moves us into action. It's the truth that burdens our hearts, Lord God. Just like Nehemiah, when he heard about the walls and all the ruins, his heart was burning and aching. And he cried out to you, Lord, but he did not wait for any of us to do the work. Instead, he acted and he went. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, as each and every one of us, Lord God, with all the burdens, with all the urgencies and with all the passion and giftings and talents and everything that you've placed within us, Lord God, my prayer this afternoon, Lord God, is this. May it not go to waste. May it not die just within us. May it produce fruit. May it cause us to act where there is a need. And Lord, there is a great need. Lord, I pray for each and every individual's who are here this afternoon. Lord, you put that need. Lord, you put that urgency in their hearts, Lord God. And if there's not that urgency, I pray, Lord God, let that be that burning urgency in their hearts, Lord God, to reach out. And let there be that burning urgency in their hearts, Lord God, to act, Lord God, upon your word. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, as they act, Father, I pray, give them the strength, give them the wisdom, give them the boldness, give them the courage, Lord God, to serve you. As they sign up for your service, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, fill them and give them with every resources of heaven, Lord God, and from heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord God, as we make that declaration today, Lord God, that we will act. Father, guide us, lead us, Lord God, into your path, Lord God. Teach us your ways and show us your ways. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people say, Amen. 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 Bless you guys. You may be seated.